If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Hoop Ball Pelicans podcast. I am your host Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Hoop Ball Pels is the show. Go and give us a like and a subscribe and all that sort of fun carry on that we like to plug on these things. Welcome back. Today, as I talked about on the last podcast, I was going to meet with a very special guest. That has happened. We're going to bring him on very, very shortly. As you know, I have a very soft spot for New Orleans. I suppose doing a New Orleans podcast, that is what resonates with me. And for me, watching the devastation over there, you know, I can't even comprehend what's going on with a lot of the communities over there, and how people are coping with the devastation that was COVID. And then, of course, Hurricane Ida that is only a month old now. And obviously, repairs are still underway for that. So I thought, well, you can't really do much from over here, and our borders are closed, so I can't fly over and, I don't know, build stuff, and I'm not very good at doing any of that anyway. So what I did want to do is reach out to a charity and organization in New Orleans, and I was lucky enough to get put in touch with Feed the Second Line and Devin DeWolf, and that's who I've got on today. Devin is the board member and founder of Crew of Red Beans, and also Feed the First Line and Feed the Second Line, and I've got him on. So, Devin, without further ado, how are you going?
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate you taking the time. Here we got the time difference to work, and I really appreciate you taking time. It's 5 o'clock over there, and you know, it's one of those key periods before dinner, and everything's starting to fire up. So, I appreciate you slotting me in.
Absolutely, no problem. Happy to do it.
Okay, so as we were saying off air, I'm based in Perth, and as the listeners know, I've been cheering on the people over there, and you know, my heart goes out to everyone affected by Ida and also COVID, and I wanted to do something a little bit more and support people that are actually making a difference over there. And I come across Kevin Barrios from the Bird Rights tagged you guys and said you're fantastic organization and you should throw your support behind them. So I had a bit of research into you guys and found that what you guys are doing is just something that's right up my alley as well. I think it's just fantastic organization and what you guys are doing. So if you're able, are you able to just explain to the listeners what you guys do and how it all came about?
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of a long story and I'll try to tell it quickly. But I'm a parade organizer. We have a Mardi Gras parade, which is the Crew of Red Beans. And for 13 years, we've been parading every Lundi Gras. And when COVID hit, we basically wanted to help our city because New Orleans was one of the first places in America to get hit with COVID. Because of Mardi Gras, because hundreds of thousands of tourists, you know, came here. And COVID was really bad. And the first wave here was very scary. And my wife is an ER doctor, actually, at the University Medical Center in New Orleans. So she would come home from work super stressed out every day. And I knew kind of what she was going through just by being her husband. And I knew that it was the scariest, most stressful thing that had ever happened. And, you know, one day she came home and what she told me about work was that a nurse brought cookies. And that was the light bulb moment of, oh, yeah, of course, like people in any workplace like good food. And if you give good food to the workplace, people are going to be a little bit happier that day. And that was our first initiative, which we called Feed the Frontline, NOLA. And because we had a crew with 400 crew members, we could actually build a team really quickly of volunteers who could help us create a really big initiative. And, you know, we started with $60, and 6 weeks later, we had actually raised $1 million, and we were feeding every single hospital, ER, and ICU in the entire city of New Orleans, which was really crazy. And we were feeding them twice a day, really good food from some of the best restaurants in our city as a way to support the restaurants. And we were hiring musicians because I knew, all right, the musicians are screwed. So we have to hire them, give them job opportunities. And so we were hiring them to be our delivery people. And then we learned a lot from that first initiative. And what was also happening at the same time, because we are a parade organization, I had crew members going to buy groceries for Benny Jones, who's the leader of the Treme Brass Band. Mr. Benny is an elder, and I basically did not want him to have to go to the grocery store, because I felt like if he went to the grocery store, the chance of getting COVID would be a lot higher than if he just stayed home. And he could stay home and be okay if somebody's buying groceries and delivering them to his house. So we were doing that anyway. And I basically took everything that we learned from the first initiative and put that to create Feed the Second Line. And Feed the Second Line is basically a lot of New Orleans culture happens on the street. And a lot of it is made by regular people like Mr. Benny or Al Carnival Time Johnson, who's the Grand Marshal of our parade every year, or the Mardi Gras Indians, or the Baby Dolls, or the Second Lines. These are really the soul of New Orleans. And what I felt like was really important to do is to create a safety net for those people. And it's special because for us, it's not, oh, these people are so poor, let's give them, you know, food and let's pity them. It's nothing like that. It's actually us saying, these people make our city so special, and we want to channel the love that we have for them into supporting them. And it's a way that every single person who loves New Orleans culture can start to support it. Because if you donate, and we have a lot of monthly donors, which is the best thing. So people will give $1 a month or $5 a month. It doesn't really matter what amount, but basically the idea is if you love New Orleans culture, you should support it. And the way that you support it is you become a monthly donor of Feed the Second Line. And we take that money, and we're able to create jobs, and we're able to support people. And, you know, we just went through a really big hurricane, and, you know, we didn't have power for 10 days and the heat was really dangerous. Elderly people died in the city. And that was a moment where our Feed the Second Line could spring into action and actually make a really big difference. We repaired 150 houses, preventing them from getting further damage with rain and things like that. We were delivering ice to elderly people who are musicians, elder culture figures of our city, delivering food. We've been delivering hurricane assistance to some of the smaller communities in South Louisiana, the places that really bore the brunt of the storm. And in all of that, we've created jobs for dozens of musicians. I mean, we put about 60 people to work, which for those folks who are musicians, they don't have a way to earn a livelihood right now because of COVID. And what we're doing by giving them job opportunities, we're, you know, paying them to do nice things for other people. And that is the difference between having money for rent or not having money for rent for a lot of people. And it's a beautiful system because it really helps the younger musicians survive. And they help other people who are elder musicians or elder culture bearers. They help them, you know, weather these catastrophes that we're dealing with. So that's basically the story, and that's basically what Feed the Second Line is doing, what we have done, and what we hope to continue to do.
Honestly, just like listening to you there, it's just a fantastic story, and where the I suppose the basis of it all comes from is New Orleans being that you know, music. Well, I suppose the soul of it's in the arts industry, isn't it? You know, with the music and the singing and the dancing and the parades and all of the stuff that comes along with that, and to see it get absolutely decimated by COVID. I mean, the arts industry's been absolutely smashed everywhere. I'm a board member of a not-for-profit arts magazine in Perth, pardon me, mind blank for a second. And you know, seeing these artists just being absolutely, you know, sitting there looking like, where is the next meal going to come from? Where is the next paycheck going to come from? You know, it's devastating to see. And with the effects of COVID-19 and then I suppose over in New Orleans as well, in Louisiana with the hurricane, you know, it's one thing after another. And being able to utilize those people that otherwise are sitting working out what they're going to do for work, you know, it's a really admirable sort of thing that you guys are doing. And really, really hat off to you, honestly, what you've done. So, excited to hopefully plug it and spin a few more dollars heading your way. And hopefully the listeners are out there thinking the exact same thing. So further from that, so what is it like at the moment in Louisiana after the hurricane? Obviously not very good, but I know that you mentioned that there was no power and the like. How's the recovery effort going at the moment?
Yeah, so New Orleans, the city, was very lucky. The storm took a funny little wobble to the west as it hit Louisiana. And so if you drive about 20 miles away from my house in New Orleans, you get a whole other level of devastation. So there's the area, which is actually around the airport, an area called Kenner. As soon as you get to Kenner, that's where you see major damage. And the hurricane, for whatever reason, just took a little wobble to the west. And that basically spared the city of New Orleans from the worst impacts. Now, we have a lot of houses with roof damage here. And the worst part, when the city had no power, because the temperature was so high and it was deadly. And there was, you know, 100,000, maybe 200,000 people trying to live through that here, with limited government support and limited assistance. But if you drive about, you know, an hour and a half away from New Orleans, then you get into many of these smaller communities that were just destroyed, just completely destroyed, and places that you've probably never heard of before, that most people don't know exist, communities that are Cajun, shrimpers, oyster people, people who are salt of the earth kind of people. When you drive down there, you'll see about, I'd say, 90% of the houses with major damage, maybe 30% of the houses just destroyed. And unfortunately, there's a lot of communities there who still do not have running water or power. And it's going to be a very long road for those folks to rebuild. And the thing that I've learned throughout the COVID, you know, pandemic and the work that we've done, the thing that I really come back to a lot, and this is going to sound really harsh, so I'll preface it with that, but you know, a lot of people love New Orleans around the world, and we are appreciative of that. We're thankful for that. You know, that's why you have a radio program in Australia connected to our city. That's amazing. But what happens with these disasters is nobody cares about the place like the people that live there. You know, when the wildfires happened in Australia, you know, I read about it in the news and I felt terrible for the communities that were dealing with that. But then, you know, something else happens and it's not my community, so I stop paying attention. And that's kind of, I think, human nature. And so a lot of our work to build Feed the Second Line is the idea that nobody cares about us but us, which is, I think, true for every city, every community in the world. And so creating a system where local people can be in charge of responding to disasters is really important, because nobody's going to do it as good or as with as much love as the people who live there. And, you know, we're not really going to forget, because it's right here. And so that's really, you know, a big philosophical underpinning of everything that we do. And, you know, like I said, if there's anyone in Australia that's listening that loves New Orleans or loves Louisiana, you know, I definitely encourage people to join our donor base. Even if it's a dollar, you know, one Australian dollar per month, it actually adds up really quickly. And it's how we can build a stronger city, you know.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, the news cycle is one of those things. I mean, over here, you know, I've got a fair bit of, I suppose, the Twitter feed and the like, and a lot of connections over in New Orleans through doing this show. And for me, that's where my passion for it comes from. But you're exactly right. You know, as soon as the news cycle changes, all right, well, Ida happened a month ago now, well, we're on to the next thing that's happening. And it happened exactly the same here with the bushfires that, I mean, obviously decimated 3/4 of Australia for most of the summer of, what was it, 2019-20. And, you know, same thing. And I know exactly where that comes from. And the people on the ground are the ones that have the visibility of it. They don't get the opportunity to have the news cycle change and then all of a sudden their house is fixed and the water's running and you know, this is people's lives. And, you know, like you said, if people can sign up and throw a few dollars a month or a dollar or whatever it is, you know, whatever you can afford, well, we're in a fortunate little situation down here. And you know, if you've got a few dollars floating around, well, sling it to people that need it. So that being said, how do we go about supporting Feed the Second Line?
Yeah, so what anyone can do is go to feedthesecondline.org. And on that website, you'll be able to sign up as a donor. And once you do that, you know, you basically send us your email information when you put it on your credit card or whatever. And then we can email updates periodically to tell people what's happening. And it's the way that I like to talk about it too, is that you guys have Netflix, right? In Australia?
Yeah.
So I pay Netflix every single month money. And I think I pay $13 or $15 a month. I honestly don't even remember. Mm-hmm. It just automatically happens. And my kind of pitch to people is, if you do that for Netflix, you do it because you like to watch TV or movies and you enjoy relaxing that way, which I do with my wife. It's super great. But how much do I love New Orleans? And if I could pay Netflix, you know, $13 a month, well, I could pay New Orleans culture that much too. And that's kind of the way that I think we can grow Feed the Second Line, because, you know, right now we have 640 monthly donors. And those people combined bring in money to employ musicians, to buy groceries for people, to cover funeral expenses that happens. And, you know, if we could grow that instead of having 600 people, I mean, yeah, if we had 6,000 people, we would have a much bigger capacity to do more. Or what would happen one day if we had 600,000 people? Because the thing about New Orleans, for people who have been here or know the history of this place, New Orleans is a city that's always had a lot of poverty and a lot of inequality, which I was a history teacher before I became a stay-at-home dad. So I'll nerd out here for a moment. But our city is directly tied to slavery and all the racism and all the segregation that happened over hundreds of years. And that is why our city has poverty and inequality. They're connected to each other. And one of the things that I think Feed the Second Line can do if it grows is actually fix that to a large degree. And so I just imagine the day when we have 6 million monthly donors, people throwing in a couple bucks here and there, and we just could do a world of good. And if we do that, the other thing that we do at the same time, aside from helping people, which is great, obviously, to help people, but we make sure that the culture of our city stays strong, because our culture is really special. And it happens on the street. It's regular people who do the culture, who create the culture. And if we support those people, they will do more culture, because it's what they love. It's what they're passionate about. And that's how we can keep New Orleans from becoming like any other American city, because our city's special in that way. We're special because of our soul. And our soul is because of our culture. So, you know, that's kind of the way that I think about it. And hopefully if there's anybody listening who likes that, you know, join us and become part of it. And I think that's how we make a really beautiful version of our city.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, keeping that culture going on, you know, you lose those elder culture bearers. Well, who teaches the next generation, and how does it continue if we lose what the foundation is? Honestly, fantastic organization. And guys, go out, feedthesecondline.org, I think was the website. Yep. Go out there and have a look. And if you can sign up and you've got a few dollars floating around, donate, and also sign up as a monthly, patron, I guess, to pay and support a fantastic organization, especially if you love New Orleans like and Louisiana like I do. So make sure you go and do that. We'll do a little... I've been working on something that I want to give away a pair of shoes, and we're going to do that. And the way to enter that is that you donate to Feed the Second Line, and you show me evidence that you've donated there, and then we're going to announce that formally soon as well. So I'll do that at the end of the show, and hopefully that will get people up and about as well, and get them involved and more likely to come and sign up. It's all well and good for people to say, yeah, I'll get onto it. But if you're going to get something out of it as well, well, you can do that. And you can show me and prove it. And hopefully that will drum up a few more as well. Devin, I would like to thank you for joining us on the Hoopball Pals. It's been absolutely fantastic having a chat with you about everything that you're doing. Is there anywhere else we can find you? Is Feed the Second Line the best place? Or is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, well, there's one thing I'll share with the Australian listeners, because you guys have cyclones, right?
We do.
Periodically. One of the things we learned with this Hurricane Ida is that, you know, the hurricane hits, the power goes out, and restaurants lose power, and then they have to throw away all the food in the freezer. And what happened in New Orleans is people were going hungry at the very same time that restaurants were just throwing away all this food. And one of the things that we're going to do to try to fix that for the next hurricane is something that we're calling the Stay Lit, Get Lit campaign idea initiative. But basically, we're going to raise money to put solar panels on restaurants and batteries that connect to the solar panels. Because when the cyclone hits if the grid goes out, but the restaurant has the batteries and the solar, then they don't lose power because they'll be fine. And solar panels actually hold up very well to hurricane force winds. There's a lot of evidence that they do great. And so one of the things that every community can start to do is take this idea from us here in New Orleans, because if you put solar panels and batteries on the restaurants in Australia that are in the cities where there might be a cyclone, that would enable that restaurant to become the first responder for their neighborhood, for their community. And then they can cook for the people and they don't have to waste all that food, and they can help people charge their cell phones, help the ice machines running, so that elderly people can cool down, you know, and not die of heat exhaustion. And this is a way too that I think local communities take care of their people better than anybody. And so this is one of the things that we kind of learned with our hurricane, and we're working on that as well. And I just wanted to share that with Australian listeners, because you guys have cyclones just like we do. And it's a solution that I think would be helpful to anybody who's going to potentially deal with that. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think the people up in Queensland and up in the north of Western Australia, they get battered with cyclones now and then, fairly often in recent times. Actually, I don't know, maybe it's into climate change and all that sort of stuff, but definitely ideas to share. And I think knowledge that you guys have got is invaluable. And if people are listening, that's a great idea. Go and get solar panels and batteries and prepare for the cyclones, because that season will no doubt be coming again in the wet season coming up in, I suppose, a few months, actually, November through to January usually. So, if you're listening, go and use those ideas. Devin, thank you very much for your time. It's been absolutely fantastic chatting with you guys. Go and check out Feed the Second Line. Go and check out the website as well. They link all together, so you can jump through and see Feed the First Line, and you can and Crew of Red Beans. You can check them all out. Devin, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and lovely to chat. And I appreciate everybody in Australia that cares about our city. And thanks again for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Cheers.
Cool.
So thanks again to Devin for coming on. Guys, go and support Feed the Second Line. And as I alluded to in the conversation, what we're going to run now is a little competition. I'm going to run it through Twitter. So what I want you to do, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I personally am going to donate a pair of Zion 1s. The basketball shoe that Zion has released, if I'm able to get them in whatever country or place that you are. Basically, haven't bought them yet, but when you win, you're going to get a pair of them. I'll arrange the size, purchase, and shipping, and we'll just get it over to you. The catch is that you've got to donate to Feed the Second Line, whether that's an ongoing payment or it is a one-off. I'll put a post up on Twitter, and if basically we'll do a retweet competition, and you retweet and you get a second entry if you you put some money with it as well, and better chance to win. So and I'll put all the terms and conditions on Twitter, and so watch out for that one. It's the first time I've done anything like this, so we'll see how we go. But we're going to run it for the month of October. So until the 31st of October, Perth time, we'll run that, and hopefully we can drum up a bit of support for New Orleans and Feed the Second Line. Fantastic organisation again, and really appreciate Devin taking the time out of his day to look after us and have a chat. And he's exactly right. The news cycle changes, and you see it in anything. We see it in the Pelicans. You know, the news cycle changes, and all of a sudden, it's all rosy again. But there's a whole heap of other stuff that continues on thereafter. So, not a lot of Pels stuff today. By way of update, Pels had their training camp start, And that's pretty much where we've been at. There hasn't been too much more otherwise, so we're keeping an eye on that. Obviously, all of the fallout from Media Day, but otherwise, I'll be back again with another episode in, I don't know, a couple of days, and we'll have a chat about how training camp went and preview the Minnesota Timberwolves game. But anyway, guys, for now, keep an eye out for that that post if you want to win yourself a pair of shoes and also support a good cause. Obviously, I want the money to go directly there. I don't want anything to come to me, and let's just try to rally around the community. Because that's what's important. That's what makes us who we are, and that's what makes New Orleans and Louisiana what it is. So, guys, I'm going to leave you with that. A bit philosophical for today, but I enjoyed it, and I hope you guys did too. We'll speak soon. As always, I'm Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Hoopball Pels. This is the Hoopball Pelicans podcast, and I'll leave you with that. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.